I was meeting with a whole denomination of pastors, and the denomination leader asked me to come in for 2 days, and the denomination was going downhill. And before I got up to speak, the different pastors got up and they announced how many people it was a year ago and how many was now. And if you didn't go down, you got an applause. Because they were applauding the fact that it is out of our control. Society doesn't care, and the new generation, and all this stuff, which isn't true at all. And I made up a story called a parable. I didn't have myself singing in the parable, but only the parable. I decided I'd act out the parable. And this is exactly what I did. I came off the platform, and I stood outside that door. Outside, come in, was a man in a black pinstripe suit with a red power tie. Had a brown satchel, briefcase. Very refined. Walked over to this man and says, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm the pastor. Tell me your name." He said, "That's what I thought. How many people were coming to your church when you started? 60 people. And how many people are there now? 68. 68. How long have you been there?" "I've been faithful, 22 years. So he spent 22 years getting 8 more people. And he think God thinks that's good? You don't know what to do with this truth today. Because some of you haven't felt the weight. The weight, W-E-I-G-H-E, the weight of realizing God's not responsible, I am. He commanded me to do business. So this attorney comes over and he says, "I have a client who's very wealthy and his daughter goes to your church. And you were able to save their marriage. And it meant so much to my client that he wants you to help other people in the small town that we live in." And he opens it up and he says, "Here is $1 million in cash. If you will double your church in the next 12 months, this money will be given to you, not to your church." And he wanted to know, "Will you double your church in the next 12 months?"
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Think about what you just heard. Then out of that door, in a robe, came none other than Jesus Christ in my story. And he walked over and everybody knew it. And he walks over to this gentleman here and says, "What do you do?" "I'm a pastor of a church." "And how many people were coming to your church when you came?" "120. "And how many are there now?" "There's about 180. "And how long have you been here?" "18 years. And Jesus said to you, "You know, I created you myself, and I gave you every gift you needed, and I put you in the family I wanted, and I trained you the way I gave you my Holy Spirit with all the power there is. And I gave you the word. And I placed you in all the world and all of history at one time, in one place, because of how I made you. I made you to help those people. And I wanted you to reach the whole city for me because you could. And if you don't get after it and double this church in the next 6 months, you've lost your right. And I'm taking the church away from you. Just like I promised in Revelation 2 and 3. With the churches in Revelation, that I will come and close your church because you are disobeying me. And I want to know, will you double your church in 6 months or not?" Guess what he said? Then I walked over here to one final pastor, asked him the same kind of numbers. And I said, "Out of that back door comes the mafia with AK-47s. And they came right up to you and said, 'Sir, we have taken your wife and your 3 young children, and our boss has said to kill all 4 of them if you don't double your church in 30 days. What would you do, sir?' And the man out loud said, 'I'll double my church in 1 week. Would he or would he not have doubled his church in 1 week? Yes or no? Absolutely. I want to get you to think through that for a minute. Because that whole denomination had decided they couldn't double their church. I said, in reality, maybe you thought it wasn't worth because you weren't paid enough. Or maybe you thought Jesus Christ didn't really put you there to take over the town for him. Or maybe you thought it wasn't a matter of life and death. Do you realize you, of course, can do it? You have to decide that that's why you're on earth. You're on earth to come to know Christ. And from that point to the last moment of my breath and your breath, it is to bear much fruit. Fruit's a good work. It's what you do for other people. Can you, if you have a Sunday school class, can you double it? Of course. If you're working with one school, can you find a way to work with two schools? Of course. If you have 180 girls come through who are thinking have an abortion, next year can you have 360? Of course. I remember talking to a pregnancy director down in Texas, south of here. And the year before I came to speak and meet with their board, they saved 7 children. The next year they saved 350. The next year they saved 792. That's not 10 times more. That's 100 times more. That's 7 to 792. Now my point to you this morning is, do you realize this is why you're still here? This is why I'm still here. It's not for this life. It's for eternity. Because when you and I die, everything that we've done to that point is tallied up. And if it's done for his kingdom, for the right reason, then there is a reward that lasts forever. And so many of us have bought into this concept that it really doesn't matter if I live for Christ. Long as I'm born again, I'm getting into heaven, and that's all that matters. It's not all that matters. Why do you think in heaven Jesus says, I will wipe away your tears? It's because it's going to happen forever. The impact of it. And it will all be too late. And I've spoken in hundreds and hundreds of churches, 60 countries. This church is extraordinary, honestly. But if this church got unleashed, I don't mean the staff on the church, they already are unleashed. It's you. What are you really trying to do for God? And is it worthy of who you are as being created in the image of God? Is what you're trying to do going to be embarrassment to you when you finally see everything the way it really was? Tonight, I'm going to really build on this and set you free. But the first thing that needs to happen, what turned my life around, was I had to repent. And I remember I felt 1,000,000 pounds, I did, on my shoulders for months. Not that I was under law. I wasn't under law. I'm under grace. But I felt, for the first time in my life, don't blame poor results on me. If it's not working, fix it. If it's not growing, change it. You mean to keep track of things? Yes. Yes. In the ministry, you don't typically make a lot of money. And because that's one of the things my wife and I really wanted to do, ten mina on, we sat down and for a couple of months talked about how much money before we died did we want to give to the kingdom. It's not how much money you make. It's how much money goes into his kingdom by giving it away to ministries and churches and individuals. And we set a very large number that was impossible to reach. And then I said to Darlene, God has given to us a platform to encourage other people. We should take that number and add a zero to it for the amount of money we want to encourage other people to give away. And then we began to pray for that. Lord, come on. Yeah, but that's how it happens. You just don't, God, please use me. He's sick and tired of that. Use you to do what? Whatever you want. Stop delegating up to me. What do you want to do for me? What's on your heart? Jesus didn't tell these guys what to do. He said, you figure it out. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Ask me for wisdom and I'll give it to you. But don't you delegate this up to me. Some of you have been waiting for 20 years for God to speak and tell you, and he's told you a long time ago, go get it. What? Whatever you want. Get it for me. If you love kids, go help kids. If you like older people, go help. Whatever you want. Then the Lord let us do this in shocking ways. Miracles. What do I mean by miracles? I mean we set the number as an impossible number. But that gave us something we begged God for. Lord, show me how. Show us how. And then we went after it. And then we kept a little book every time we gave money away. It was a private book. Nobody knows what the number is. And nobody knows how much we... That's it. It's nobody's business. We kept writing. Why? He wants to know how much. How much? And how much are you after this? What are you doing with every talent you got? A friend, the lady, I'm going to end. The lady said to me, I can't do what you do. I said, well, thank God. It's hard enough in the world for one of me. Well, then I can't teach. Well, then don't teach. Well, I can't serve God. That's what? I don't know what to do. Well, what do you love to do? What do you mean? Who do you love to help? Oh, the old people. You do. I didn't know that. You like to help old people? Yes. I love going to those homes when the older people are just abandoned and go around and love on them because nobody does. Wow. Okay. That's the who. What do you want to do? I've got to remember this. This moved me emotionally. I want to make them feel special. I said, oh, Pat, that's wonderful. How do you want to do that? I think I'd like to make a fancy tea for them. A fancy tea? What do you mean? No, I want to bring different kinds of china in and make all these little finger foods and make hats and... Wow, what will they think of that? Nobody's ever done that. And anything else you want to do? Yeah, I want to help them spiritually. Okay, I already talk to them when I go around bed to bed, but I want to okay. Can you share something of what Christ means to you at the end of the dessert? You mean me? Sure. Yeah, I can. Okay, take pictures and send them to me. She did this. You should have seen the ladies. Then weeks went by, and another one. And then I said, I wonder if you could do this at another one of these homes. Well, yeah, I can. Do you know any of your friends who would love to learn how to do that? Well, yeah, she would. Why don't you bring her next time and ask her if she would take one of these? By the end of the second year, she had hundreds of old people that were being loved on and heard the gospel. What about you? Don't say you can't. Get out of here. Of course you can. It's just you don't understand. Every day you don't do something for the kingdom is a wasted day. So, what turned me around? I repented. I asked God to forgive me, and I turned my face toward the Ten Mina. I didn't know how to do it, but I started, and by God's grace, okay. So if that's you, then how about it?